Good evening and welcome to this episode of the Anime Helmet Podcast. Today we have special guest. His start the season has him definitely being in talks of early season MVP. It's quarterback for the Crested Kings, Deshaun Caper Smith, also known as Lefty. Lefty, good evening, my man. How you doing?
How you doing, man? I'm doing well. Yourself?
Not bad, not bad. Now, you went to Warren Easton. What was football life like at Warren Easton?
To be honest with you, I'm not going to say life was hard, but my first aspect of Warren Easton was from outside talk, right? My cousin went to Warren Easton. But at that time, growing up, I went to Warren Easton, I want to say 2011, 2012. And around that time, Warren Easton was, pretty suckish. Wasn't all good, wasn't all bad. Honestly, it was kind of bad. It was kind of bad. But before then, man, like I said, when I first went in, I didn't know. You know what I'm saying? Football was just football to me. But to understand that, okay, a program really has to have an aspect of wins and losses. You're gonna understand that later on down the line. But it's like, at one point, Warren Easton was just known for having pretty females. Just to be honest with you. And my first aspect of it, we went 4-6. Lost in the first round of the playoffs. What else? The first day I went in, I seen a receiver coach at the time, right? That's what I went in to play. I wanted to play receiver when I first went in. I didn't really want to play quarterback. Quarterback wasn't my sport. I played it, but at that time, I was just playing quarterback in the park. We wasn't even throwing the ball like that. We was just always handing off. Might do a quarterback keeper here and there, but other than that, we never really tossed the ball around. So at that time, I didn't want to play quarterback. I just wanted to play receiver. Went in as a receiver. Like I said, I went in, seen a receiver coach. He was helping one of the receivers, right? And at this time, one of the receivers that we had, real crisp doing his routes, hands adjustments, he's doing pretty good. So I'm like, damn. If this is in my head, I'm like, man, I can't, I'm going to have to wait my turn. Coach threw the man the ball. He dropped it. And I said, I looked at myself and said, what did I get myself into? Like, honestly, what did I get myself into? Like I said, we went 4-6, lost the first round of the playoffs. But during that meantime, I was moved to quarterback in my first game of district. I started, don't get me wrong, I started as a freshman. I played receiver, I started. But they moved me to quarterback in district time. We played against Shell Met the first time they put me at quarterback. And I was in and out because at this time, I thought I did something wrong. Coach Tony Hall set me out. Told me I wasn't going to start this game. I thought I did something. I thought I messed up in class or something like that. And I told me I wasn't going to start. So I was rotating in and out with this one of the receivers. And then one of the plays, coach just told me to go in that quarterback. And he told me to play. I went in, relayed the play to the teammates. And he told me to keep the ball. So faked the dive, kept it around the end, scored. After the game, he told me to go find my parents out the stand. I went up to him. He told my mom and my dad, he said I had no ifs, ands, or buts. I was going to start at quarterback for the rest of my years at East. And since then, I've been playing quarterback ever since. Like I said, we finished 4-6, lost in the first round. My sophomore year, kind of the same thing. We lost to St. Thomas More. St. Thomas More. That was the year, I think that was the first year, if I'm not mistaken, If not that year, the next year, when they started doing the public school league and then the Catholic school league. And I would want to say we was gonna if we would have won against St. Thomas More, we'd have had to play against Leonard Fournette. That'd have been my sophomore year. Ended up losing to them. Come back my junior year, we lost to East Jeff. This was the first year that Warren Easton turned around. This is when we turned around as a program. We went deep into the playoffs, lost in the quarterfinals against East Jeff. Senior had a hell of a season. I finished with 76 total touchdowns. I had 53 in the air, 23 on the ground. Only threw two intercepts. I had one Gatorade Player of the Year, Mr. Louisiana. I was Parade All-American, first team All-Metro, first team All-State, first team All-District, District MVP, All-State MVP, All-Metro MVP, Parade All-American. So, I mean, I had a hell of a year at Easton. And I really do appreciate everything that Warren Easton has done for me. And as you know, I'm back at my alma mater. I'm trying to do the same thing for the other kids who have the same goal, man. And I'm truly blessed to have it.
Now, when you look on social media and you see folks around the world as semi-pro who proclaim themselves as being him, do you just smile and say, "Well, how much do you fight the urges to take a picture of all the trophies and all the accolades and say, just post it and just not say a word?"
Wait, say that again. I ain't hear you.
When you see people on social media who claim that they are like the man when it comes to the semi-pro game, how big is the temptation that you have not to take a photo of all the accolades, awards, trophies you've won during your career and just post that as just a statement?
Mean, I feel like I don't have to. I think if you have to brag about yourself on your own terms, then you're not the man. That's just a simple fact. So just like you just told me, you know all my accolades, you know what I did. If you can speak for me, I mean, I have nothing else to say.
Now, explain to the people who may not have, who may not know the competition as far as New Orleans high school football. Explain how serious and how competitive the area high school football is.
I mean, it's very competitive. And as you know, you have to think about it. Just comparing Texas. Texas is real big, right? Texas is real big. Texas have probably schools damn near hours apart from each other. So any kid that stays in that area within that school goes to that school. Well, to where you have to go to, you had, at one point, you had Warren Easton. You had 3-5 that was in the area at the time when it was in the 7-wall. Then you also had Clark at the time. Clark was right off of Claiborne under the next to the bridge by around Manchu's Chicken. So you do have schools within the area that you have to compete against. And it's all based on, like I said, it's all based on the name of the school. The amount of, how can I put this? What you producing, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, everybody wants what's best for their kid. So you do have those three schools in the area, but nobody wants to go to Clark. I mean, nobody wants to go to Clark. Clark don't have a good program. Clark is not playing against the best of the best. So you have to fight that urge. I took a chance on going to Warren Easton. You know what I'm saying? So at that time, 3-5 was one of the best teams in that area. 3-5 stayed in the playoffs, always reached the playoffs. If I tell myself this all the time, and I try to relate this to kids who either go to 3-5 now or just ask about 3-5. If 3-5 don't have to play against Neville, the amount of times that they did, 3-5 will have a couple of championships, state championships under their belt.
Speaking of, when we come back from break, we are joined by a proud alum of 3-5, but that's after break. You are listening to the Unhelmet Podcast on the FPC Radio Network. We are back with another podcast. Terrence Biggs, Deshaun Caper Smith of the Crested Kings with us is the offensive coordinator of the Crested Kings, Melvin Davis. Evening, Mel.
What's going on?
Not much, man. Just sitting here with Lefty. Now, as your first year as an offensive coordinator, what was the biggest adjustment you've had to make as far as the plan and the prep?
One, just realizing that I'm not a player anymore. That's one of the big things, like how I have to talk in certain situations. I learned that kind of the hard way. Animal kind of came down on me about that. And I think I'm way more detailed now than I was even as a player because I have to know how all 11 people are moving. Luckily, like Lefty played the position, so it's kind of easier when you have somebody who know the position, you know, and they know what you expect and they know what you're trying to do. They know the way, excuse me, that you're trying to the accord you're trying to get the whole offense on. So we kind of just clicked from the beginning, really. So yeah, like having him helped a lot. Like he even showed me some things, you know, that I never was even introduced to. So just picking up on what he learned and what I learned, and just I watch a lot of film on like Mike Shanahan and Kyle Shanahan and Andy Reid. Like I that's my go-to coaches. So just studying them and learning a little bit from him and what I've known all these years, and trying to pull it all together and make it my own. But definitely having him helps a lot, for sure.
Now, Deshaun, when you finished your career at A&M, your last game was a bowl victory, correct?
Say that again?
Your last game at Texas A&M was a bowl game victory, right?
Yes, yes.
How that feel to end your career in College Station with a bowl game, a victory, and be able to walk up the field one last time?
Bittersweet moment. You know what I'm saying? To this day, I still have some close friends from out there that I consider my brothers. We talk every now and then. It's not a down moment that we don't think about that last victory that we had together as a team and as a group. Because, man, it's like I said, it was all love, man. My 4 years at A&M, they showed mad love. It was something that I didn't expect. You know what I'm saying? And you meet new faces, people take you in with open arms. It's only right you show the same thing. A couple of those guys came down with me. I want to say my junior year, man. My junior year, for some reason, I felt as though Coach Sumlin was probably generous. He gave us a whole week of practice off. Now, mind you, around this time, Mardi Gras was coming. So, so around this time, I got all my work done, made sure everything was good. I ain't had to worry about catching up on nothing. And a couple of my friends, man, my mom and dad made space for us to come down to meet my friends from, you know, from A&M. We came down and we didn't actually do Mardi Gras, but we did like Bacchus, Demian and stuff like that, those weekend parades. And I mean, just to see them enjoy themselves. And when we had Thanksgiving back in College Station, man, I shot down to Houston with a couple of my friends from, you know, that stayed in that area. They parents showed mad love, and it's like I said, it was good. And I felt as though that last moment, I didn't drop a tear. We just all knew, man. Some play their last game, some enjoy that moment, some break down and cry about, you know, not having an opportunity to go to the next level. But that's with any and everybody. You know, chances do happen. And luckily, you know, I got a couple of shots. I just didn't get a call back. It don't make me or break me. As long as I was able to honestly just to step on the NFL field. And you know, a couple of times during those bowl games, you actually played on a NFL field. And my last game was in the Jaguars Stadium. So that was a fun time for me. I played in a couple of bowl games. Even if when we played against Arkansas, we always played them in Dallas. You know, the owner went to Arkansas, so that game is always played in Dallas. Now, I think they did miss 2 years due to COVID, but yeah, man, I mean, always had the opportunity to step on the NFL field. Even playing it in the state game, I did. Growing up at this, around the time I was growing up, probably for Mel also, I think Pogba at this time, when I played for Goretti, we also did, some teams did the halftime, and they used to play on the field, and then some games was even hosted in the Superdome. So, I mean, like I said, I was able to experience that moment, to be able to at least run, get tackled, make tackles on the NFL field. So I'm proud of that. Very proud of that, man.
Now, Mel, when you saw Lefty come out for the first practice slash tryout, what was the first thing that crossed your mind?
You good. I had to, they had a couple guys, actually. They had this other guy, I forget his name. He played at Carver. And he played quarterback there, and he took Carver deep into the playoffs. I think they lost in the quarterfinal round, I want to say, or the semifinal round to Carr, actually. They took them to the wire, really, and he played great. But I told them just from jump, from me watching the people who came try it out, I knew Lefty was going to be the guy. Like, I told them the first day, I was like, I already got it in my brain, the style of offense that I'm trying to run, and I know what he ran in high school because I've watched him play a few times. So I was like, I felt like we would click just based off of the style of offense they ran, and how he played. Like, he plays like he don't belong on this level. Like, I told him when I first, one of the first conversations we had, I told him, I don't want him playing, just on this level. To me, that's my personal opinion. I just believe, like, he really can go play on any level, whether it's Canadian, whether it's NFL, whether it's any level, and he will find a way to win. That's like one of my favorite things. But like, he's gonna find a way. So I knew from jump, like out the gate, I told him that he was gonna be the guy. So it wasn't no questions about that.
Now, Lefty, when you played your first game of the season, you had to play a quarterback in a minute. Mm-hmm. How was it being back on the other side of the line of scrimmage and being able to take the snap? Was it nerve, or was it like falling off a bike, basically?
Yeah, kind of both. I also told Mel, man, before the beginning of the game, I had to shake off the cobwebs. It wasn't, I don't feel like I missed a beat. It was just at that time, it was just been a minute. And from that game on, going to the second game, I just found my groove again. I feel as though, not being cocky, man, but honestly, I feel like I didn't miss a step. Like he said, I know the position. I know what I'm trying to do with the ball. I'm very peculiar with what I'm trying to do with the ball. I'm not trying to force anything. It's very, like, playing quarterback, you have to be really smart. You really have to be smart. What you're doing with the ball, what you're trying to do with the ball, not try to create turnovers. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to put the defense in a bad perspective and in a bad bind. And then I think for us, we clicked. Me and Mel, we click. We talk about stuff a lot. We talk about stuff before the game. We talk about stuff during practice. And we sit back and we just analyze, what are we trying to do? And once we figure out what we're trying to do, we attack it. And I think once you see that, you could tell we could score in three plays. We know what we're doing. We click, we get on the ball, we score, we get on the ball, we score, we get on the ball, we score. And once you get an offense that can do that, I don't think, honestly, I don't think nobody could stop it.
Mel, when you look at not just the early part of the schedule, but for the rest of your schedule, do you see a defense that will be able to give you a hard time? Or do you think if everybody stays healthy and everybody gets right, that they can make this move?
You are really good at this. But I look at the schedule and I don't want to seem cocky. I don't want to overlook anybody, because it's football. Anybody could be beat on any given day, honestly. But I feel like one of the things that we have is, one, the chemistry is starting to click. And I think, as dangerous as we are right now, I still don't think we reached our full potential or even close to it. Like, we still figuring certain things out and minimizing a lot of the substitutions here and there, or whatever it is, whatever calls for the flow of the game. But we starting to get everything down to science, basically. So we don't miss a beat if we got to sub someone in or out. It's no beats missed. Like, everybody could pick up where someone left off. But personally, I'm kind of where Lefty is. It's going to be very hard to stop a machine when you have somebody. I think right now Lefty has 10 touchdowns to one intercept. Like, you're not turning the ball over. We having long drives, honestly. We putting together nice drives. And that's one thing I look at when I watch the film from the games. Like, we giving our defense time to make adjustments on the sideline. We're giving our defense time to take breaks. We're giving our defense time to recuperate and get their stuff together. And I really realized that in the Cardinals game, because we were down at half, actually. Like, we were down 19 to 12, but I paid attention to Lefty. That's what I was really watching. Like, he's a real leader. Like, he is, you can't shake him. Like, you can't move him. Nothing disrupts what he's trying to do. So you could talk, you could blitz, you could hit him late, you could hit him early, like, whatever. You could do whatever you want. He's very poised. So when it came to that close game, when you have people who are poised, not just him, other people on the team also, like, no one was like, man, we down and we got to do this and we got to do that. It was more like, all right, look, this is what they doing. These are the adjustments. So we're going to hit them with this, this, and then it's a touchdown. And everything we said in order, Lefty, correct me if I'm wrong, everything we said in order in that Cardinals game, how it was going to happen, it happened for the offense.
Yes, it did.
So I just think we are all getting on the same page. Everyone knows their role. And picking up on new things we're trying to do. Every week is something different. So just to see how everyone buys into what we're trying to do. And I'm not the type of coach. I told Lefty when he first came, I'm not the type of coach. It's not just going to be, well, I say we're going to do this, and that's it. Like, it's sometimes in a game where I'd be like, Lefty, like, you out there, you might see something I don't see. Like, let me know what's up. And then we make the correct adjustments. And sometimes I just be like, Lefty, look, you got these next couple plays. Come see me after the third play. And he'll take over. He'll control those plays. Then he come see me. And then I'll make an adjustment. And then he trusts my adjustments. Like, it's not often that you get, in semi-pro at least, when you get a coach, especially a first-year coach on this level, with a player, and it just clicked the way we clicked, and he just trusts me. Like, just trust what I'm trying to do and trust my adjustments. And I just think we benefit off of each other, because there's a lot of, it's sometimes where I don't see something out there because I'm not on the field. So when Lefty be like, look, this man doing this, I'm like, all right, look, you got this play, and I'm gonna make the adjustment off of what you call. And every time we do that, we just get it back rolling. We came to a time in the Rampage game. First quarter, we put up 20 points. Second quarter, we don't score. Third quarter, we was like, all right, this is the adjustments they made. We're going to start hitting them with this, hitting them with this. And it just picked right back up where we left off in the first quarter. So I think, again, to what Lefty's, it's going to be hard to stop us. It's going to be hard to, like, just stop us. A lot of defenses thrive on stopping you. It's going to be hard to stop us. It's going to be more of, are we dropping passes? I don't think we have a fumble on the season from any running back. We don't turn the ball over much. We have one turnover in four games. So I think we manage him pretty well. Me personally, I think we could put up more points.
All right.
Now, last question for the both of you. You're both quarterbacks. You're both students of the game. You both watch endless college football. If you're the Carolina Panthers, you have the number one pick. Which quarterback are you taking and why? Lefty, you go first.
What quarterback am I taking? That's tough. Let me see. Who we got?
Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, which no one should take. Anthony Richardson.
Why not?
How to explain this? He, when he gets under a rush, he just flings it up there and he goes through one scan and just goes. Plus, what kind of bothers me is this. He transferred from Penn State. He couldn't beat out Sean Clifford at Penn State. Sean Clifford might not get drafted. That bothers me still.
Oh, okay. I feel you. Honestly, who would I want to? Thinking of the system.
I mean, you got.
You just left. Athlete, Moore just left, right?
Yeah.
So right, but now they, you have,
go ahead. They got LaVisca Chenault and Adam Thielen as their two wide receivers right now. Not bad.
Yeah. I probably take Bryce Young.
Mel? Oh, we went on Mel. Who
personally?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, now, if I had to pick, I would lean towards, honestly. I would say probably CJ Stroud. Probably. I would probably lean towards him. Me personally, I don't have nothing against Bryce Young, but I don't think he really closed big games to me. I just think Bama at the quarterback position over the last couple years, granted, he won the Heisman, which and I don't think this quarterback class is actually amazing, really.
Oh, to me, it's bad. It's bad.
But, it most definitely is.
But first of all, just throw Lefty in there. Lefty, I'm your agent, and we could get drafted. But I would really take a chance on Anthony Richardson.
Ooh,
I would.
And I
but,
say that, and I'm gonna tell you why though. One, I don't think Florida really gave him what he needed, like for his
help
technique. Like he's still raw. Like he is raw. So I just think if he falls into, let me see who got that first pick, who you said?
Carolina Panthers.
Carolina, if he falls with Carolina, one, I think he will have time to play and learn as he plays. Because there is nobody in Carolina, he would be more of a learn while playing versus learn from watching from the sideline, because I think he's that type of player. I think he has the biggest upside out of the quarterbacks because he's still so raw. So you can really mold him versus someone like Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, who pretty much been in programs where they have good quarterback coaches and they have some of the top coaches in all of NCAA football. But I just think Anthony Richardson, just he's just raw. Like, he can do, I think he could be more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
He can be more accurate. I think he has one of the biggest arms. I think he's probably the most, one of the most athletic players in the draft, not just at the quarterback position. Just, he's overly athletic. Like, he's overly athletic for, especially for a quarterback. So I just think he has the best upside. I would take a chance on him and molding him to the quarterback you would need for whatever system you're trying to run.
I agree. It's going to be a
and
good
Bryce
one.
Young, and Bryce Young only 5'8 or something like that, 5'10.
5'10. Deshaun Capersmith, offensive coordinator Melvin Davis of the Crested King. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Under the Helmet podcast.
All right, man.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.